You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The number one spiritual disease of our generation is unthankfulness. And unthankful people are always unhappy people.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Almighty and everlasting God, thy love and mercy are present in every generation. By the power of thy Spirit, cause people everywhere to recognize thee as their Creator and Redeemer. Remove from our hearts all traces of ingratitude and thanklessness, and place within us the knowledge that thy Son Jesus died on the cross so that we might live with thee eternally. In Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray, amen. A recent magazine report described the tragic story. A hungry man held tightly to his bowl as he moved ahead in the food line. When he was only a few feet away from the spot where he would receive food for his starving body, he collapsed and died. Those around him, who were also starving to death, barely had enough strength to drag his skeleton a few yards away and then struggle to retake their position in the line and patiently wait. These and similar events now taking place in East Africa and in other parts of the world cause little or no real concern in the minds of most people. We observe them on colored television with calloused indifference. In fact, for most of us, more upsetting than seeing a man starve to death in a food line would be for us to witness someone receiving no gasoline after waiting in line at a service station. Of course, there is no comparison between the two examples. One is a matter of life and death, and the other is only a temporary inconvenience. But these examples provide damning evidence of the ungodly and thankless attitude now existing in our so-called advanced society. In spite of our clear knowledge of worldwide famine and stark poverty, we find it difficult to respond to a recent bizarre report of a missionary who stated, "There are so many dead bodies, even the hyenas are no longer hungry." Why do these stories mean so little to us? Why do they only occasionally affect us? Because at the very root of our thanklessness is our basic and fundamental refusal to acknowledge that God has provided us with everything we have. He alone gets all the credit. Sometimes we arrogantly believe that we deserve the things we have. We in no way deserve the blessings we have received from the Lord. He has provided them to us out of His divine grace and mercy. The Bible proclaims, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves." If you find yourself constantly complaining, never satisfied, perpetually thankless, and always selfishly trying to get what you think is best for you, let me encourage you to honestly examine your life. Begin by praying to God. Ask Him to help you understand that He is the source of everything you have. Ask Him to change your heart from calloused indifference to a heart which will in everything give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Being thankful for everything is never easy. It does not come naturally to our sin-calloused hearts. It is not easy to give thanks in a society where values are warped and distorted. A society which last year spent over $3 billion on pet food, far more than was spent in the entire baby food industry. It is difficult to be thankful in a society in which cats and dogs are given waterbeds to sleep on, nail polish and spray colognes. And yet, in the midst of the blinding fog of affluent deception, let us, with repentant and humble hearts, praise and thank God for His goodness. Even if others refuse, even if others make fun of our Christ-centered attitude, let us publicly acknowledge that God has done everything. He has done even far more than create us and provide us with all we need in this life. The greatest act of God, which should move even the most hardened heart to thankfulness, is His gracious act of redeeming love. Even though we have rebelled against Him, God has decided to take us back. It is no secret that even many non-Christians realize that someday everyone who has done anything wrong will have to pay for their sins. But God loves you and me and all people so much that He has provided a way to remove all the guilt and penalty of our sins. According to the Bible, not everyone will have to suffer for sins they have committed. Not everyone will spend eternity in hell. Only those who refuse to repent of their sins, and only those who refuse to believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ, only they will condemn themselves to be eternally separated from God. The Bible proclaims that he that believeth and is baptized will be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The central message of the Bible is confusing to the human mind. It is neither logical nor reasonable for God to love the unlovable. With divine power and authority, the Holy Scriptures proclaim, but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As you listen to this message, surely you must realize in your heart that you have not lived the life God expects of you. You may consider yourself better than some other people, but in relation to God's holiness and perfection, you have failed miserably. But don't despair. God has already arranged His spiritual life-saving equipment just for you. Listen as I read this good news directly from the Bible. For God delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to His kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Yes, God has delivered you from the domain of Satan's darkness. He has transferred you to the kingdom of His beloved Son. And in Jesus, you have been redeemed, and your sins are forgiven. Surveys are constantly being conducted throughout the United States and Canada and other countries to determine how religious people are. The conclusions are based on answers to such questions as whether people believe in God and whether they attend church regularly. Even though the survey results may not always be correct, they are definitely interesting. In fact, when people say they believe in God and that they worship on Sunday morning, even this may be grossly misleading. According to the Bible, a real test of faith is reflected by how thankful one is. St. Paul proclaimed this in the first chapter of Romans when he said that although the godless and wicked men knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him. The Bible teaches that thankfulness is a clear sign of godliness. Unthankfulness is a sign of wickedness. No matter what you and I may proclaim with our lips, God judges our hearts. No wonder Isaiah prophesied, and Jesus spoke clearly against the hypocrisy of all who claim to believe in God and yet remain unthankful. Jesus said, "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Even among people who claim to be Christian, it is not difficult to observe thanklessness. Husbands and fathers invest in homes and automobiles too expensive for their budget, and then constantly gripe and complain that they are not making enough money. Wives with modern kitchens, laundry conveniences, and adequate wardrobes lovelessly nag their husbands with complaints that they want newer and better appliances and clothes. Young people selfishly demand their own specially decorated room, a car, a stereo, and all the luxuries not even dreamed of by young people in most foreign countries. How futile it seems. The more we have, the more we want, and the more we have, the less thankful we tend to become. Yes, God warns of the great danger of unthankfulness, especially among those who claim to believe in Him. Being unthankful is a very serious sin. The Bible states, "For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, and ungrateful." If unthankfulness were to be classified as an illness by disease prevention centers, it would certainly be considered the number one disease of our generation. And removing this Satan-planted self-centered attitude from our hearts is not easy. It is not as simple as taking pills or other medicine. In fact, struggling to become truly thankful by our own power is impossible. The strength of our flesh and the selfishness of our ego are too powerful to overcome. By signing up for the military, a young man immediately becomes a soldier. By declaring his political intentions, an individual seeking public office immediately becomes a candidate. But for anyone to declare that he or she is going to be more thankful, this neither happens automatically nor immediately. We are all in the same boat. We face the same dilemma. As you listen to this broadcast today, your heart and my heart can be changed only by the almighty power of God. Only the Holy Spirit can truly convict us of our sin of unthankfulness. Oh, may God quickly remove the scales from our eyes. By His almighty Spirit, may we be empowered by Him to reject all our selfish concerns and contemplate only His divine love. As we turn to our Lord, let us memorize and repeat every day the divine promise of the Bible, which says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us." At this very moment, no matter what you are doing, stop and think what God has done for you. And then on top of everything else, remember, even though you did not request it, your loving Heavenly Father sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross to pay for your sins. All this was done out of love. Sins you have committed in your personal life, those terrible things you have done against your parents, your children, or any of your friends have been paid for. Just like a small child who knows he has done something wrong, you and I realize in our hearts that we deserve punishment for things we have done wrong. But Jesus has already received this punishment. His innocent blood was shed for our sins. As we contemplate the grace, the mercy, and the love of God, we must realize that life will never be perfect, even for a Christian. We must remember that sin will always be a problem for us. However, when we by faith believe in Jesus Christ, sin will not rule in our hearts. It will exist, but it will not have the upper hand. Did you know that the devil even tempts Christians to commit adultery, to cheat in business, to tell dirty jokes, to gossip, and to lie? And yet, in our struggle, we must rely on Jesus, who said, "I have overcome the world." In this life, you and I will never become righteous and perfect. But when we repent of our sins and trust in Jesus, God accepts us just as we are, with all our weaknesses, shortcomings, and unthankfulness. No, we never become righteous, and yet God declares us righteous in His sight. We do not become righteous. We are declared righteous, all by the grace and the mercy of God. In order to promote a spirit of gratitude, various countries have set aside special days for their nation to observe Thanksgiving. And this is good. But God wants us to be thankful every day, not just one day of each year. Being regularly thankful can happen only when we are regularly reminded what God has so graciously done for us through His Son, Jesus. True and God-pleasing thankfulness will begin in no other way. And so as you attend church where the true Word of God is preached, the Holy Spirit will constantly refocus your priorities. Your concerns will shift from yourself to God and others. As you read and study the Bible, the Spirit of God will continue to remove your selfishness and to replace it with an attitude of love. As you pray, both alone and with your friends and family, God will soften your heart and refresh your life. The clearest indication of thankfulness of any society is demonstrated by its concern for its senior citizens. The treatment of the elderly is a direct reflection of how thankful a nation is. What a severe indictment our so-called advanced society must face. I was raised on a farm in the state of South Dakota. On occasion, I have the opportunity to visit various farms throughout the United States and Canada. On several occasions, I have witnessed the fact that pig barns, now being used to raise hogs, frequently have a better ventilating system than those used in many rest homes. The air that we provide for our animals is often cleaner and fresher than that which we provide for our own family and friends. What an indictment to realize that we take better care of our pigs than we do of our parents. Many children will ultimately be held responsible for the way they treat their elderly parents. The Bible states, "You should make it clear that for a man to refuse to look after his own relations, especially those actually living in his house, is a denial of the faith he professes." The Bible continues by saying, "He is far worse than a man who makes no profession." In a generation which increasingly considers the elderly as inconveniences and unnecessary baggage, it is no wonder that God's word is avoided, which says, "You shall rise up before the gray-headed and honor the aged, and you shall revere your God." No, giving thanks in all situations is never easy. Those who are told by their doctor that they have terminal cancer frequently feel no reason to be thankful. Parents who lose a son in the war are often confused and unsure how to react. Parents who claim to be Christian and then get a divorce leave behind them children confused and struggling to understand life, much less be thankful. And yet the Lord reminds us, "In everything give thanks. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." It may be confusing to us, but it is still the will of God. And there is a reason that believers in Jesus Christ can give thanks in all situations without being confused. Many things which occur on this side of heaven may at first seem like terrible tragedies, but God's plan is not limited to this life. As His children, we must look at things from a perspective which includes not only this life, but also life eternal. This life is only a small part of the total picture. We must strive by faith to see the entire picture. When this happens, bitterness and unthankfulness are turned to peace and joy. We can then understand what the Bible means when it says, "Now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." God grant this to each of you as you listen today. Amen.